We've sung a number of hymns this evening on remembering and lest I forget. And I'd like to, for us to think about this evening, a message entitled The Perilous Dangers of Forgetfulness. The Perilous Dangers of Forgetfulness. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to each of our hearts tonight. Father, we thank you for all that you have recorded for us in your word. We thank you that it is a complete revelation. We thank you that it is an all-sufficient revelation, that there is nothing else that we need to be instructed of that you have not already given to us in your word. We thank you for the confidence we have as we come and open its pages and look to your word for guidance by the Spirit of God. And we pray that you would encourage our hearts and exhort us tonight as we think about the dangers that lurk in forgetting that which we need to remember. Lord, may it be our priority to make these things important to us, that we may recall them to memory. In Jesus' name, amen. Not about you, but I find I'm getting more and more forgetful each year. I seem to be forgetting more names and more things that I've done, and the list goes on. But I am always comforted when I read things that let me be assured that I'm not the only one who's forgetting things. There was some research done indicating that everyone does at one time or another forget things, and these were some things that people most often forget. 42% forget faces, 49% forget what was said, 53% forget words, 57% forget telephone numbers, 60% forget where something is, and 83% forget names. And names are certainly one of the things that I struggle with. But there's a guy who had a particular problem with names. It's a man from the city who was visiting relatives on a farm. He was out walking around with the farmer, but when the farmer gave a whistle and his dog herded the cattle into the corral and then latched the gate with her paw. "Wow, that's some dog. What's her name?" the city visitor said. The forgetful farmer thought a minute and then asked, "What do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on the stem?" "A rose?" "Yeah, that's it." The farmer turned and called out to his wife, "Hey, Rose, what do we call this dog?" He had troubles with names, I think worse than I do. And there are certainly various levels in seriousness of the consequences of our forgetfulness. Another account I read was a husband who forgot his wife's birthday. That's something that you don't forget. And he went into the jeweler's the following day and explained the situation and asked for the shop assistant's help to purchase an appropriate gift because he had forgotten his wife's birthday the day before. She replied to him that there was nothing in the store that was that expensive that would get him out of that predicament. Well, we forget faces, we forget dates, we forget places, even the names of old friends. Children forget the teachers that taught them. They forget the sacrifices of their parents made for them. A few weeks ago, I forgot to put the bung in the boat, and I launched the boat. That had some pretty interesting consequences. However, forgetfulness in the spiritual realm is far more serious than any of these forgetful examples that we've mentioned. The perilous dangers of spiritual forgetfulness is our focus for tonight. And we're not talking about absent-mindedness. We're not talking about the fact that facts about God can be remembered while but we can still forget God while remembering facts about him. And it isn't that there's a danger of our totally wiping God out of our memories altogether. The danger is forgetting the reality of God in our lives. We're talking about forgetting how much we need to depend upon him. forgetting the importance of being obedient to his word, forgetting that he is a living God and not just a dead religion. First of all, we want to think about this evening the dangers of spiritual forgetfulness. And interesting that this was certainly Paul's burden in the pastoral epistles. He exhorts other ministers of the importance of putting God's people in remembrance that they forget not. A couple of times in writing to Timothy, in his first letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says to his young disciple, Timothy, Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. It was Paul's charge to Timothy to put the brethren in remembrance of all that had been taught to him. And if he would do that, then that would define him as a good minister of Jesus Christ. In his second letter to Timothy, in chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul said, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then Paul said to Timothy, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. These important truths, if we're dead with him, we live with him. If we suffer, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. These things, Timothy, put the people in remembrance. Matthew Henry makes an interesting comment about this particular charge of Paul to Timothy. He said he must make it his business, talking about the minister, to edify those who were under his charge, to put them in remembrance of those things which they did already know. For this is the work of ministers, not just to tell people that which they never knew before, but to put them in mind of that which they do know. We're a people who are prone to forget. Paul was confident that Timothy would have this priority in his ministry, for he testified in the letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul had exhorted Timothy. Timothy was a man who heeded the exhortation, and Paul had the confidence that Timothy would bring the people of God into remembrance of his ways which be in Christ. It wasn't just Timothy that Paul challenged, it was also Titus. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul said, Titus, put them in mind. There it is again. Hupum imnesco. Put them in mind. There is to remind them quietly, to suggest to the memory, to put them in remembrance. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Titus, remind them of this. It was Paul's priority in his ministry to the church at large to put Christians in mind, put them in remembrance. He not only exhorted other ministers to do it, but he himself would do it. In Romans 15 and verse 15, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind." Same word again. Put them in remembrance. "Because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." I have a responsibility, Paul says, to put you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. He called Timothy to remembrance. In 2 Timothy, in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul said, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." It's a different word there, anamnesko. But again, "I have remembrance of thee, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." When I call to remembrance, again, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands." I'm recalling, Timothy, that you've been trained. I remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was in your mother and grandmother. And now, Timothy, I'm putting you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift. Don't forget to use the gift that God has given you for the ministry. Stir up the gift. The danger of forgetting. Let's think about now man's tendency to forget. Excuse me. Man's tendency to forget. What does man tend to forget? Well, he tends to forget the providences and the provisions of God, and that's why the exhortation was given in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." This was a danger that the children of Israel faced. They needed to take heed. They needed to keep their soul diligently. Otherwise, they were going to forget what they had seen. They were going to forget what they had been provided with. And that word there, "lest thou forget," is the word shulkak, and it means to mislay, to be oblivious of, and not retain it in your attention. Again, the warning is given in Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. "Then beware," beware, here's the warning, "beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." We know that Egypt's a type of the slave market of sin, and it's a great danger for all of us, isn't it? We need to be careful lest we forget the Lord, which has brought us up out of the slave pit of sin from the house of bondage. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we'll read a few of these verses, and this gives a little bit more detail about the warning. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and beginning in verse 11. Really begins in verse 1 as it speaks about all the good that they were to possess in the land, and all that God had done for them. But verse 11 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Keep note of all the forgets here in the warnings. "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish." We can forget the provisions of God. We can forget the protections of God. We can forget the blessings of God. And we can forget the commandments and the covenants of God. And that's the verse we read earlier. "Take heed lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God," in Deuteronomy 4:23, "which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee." Hosea in chapter 4, verse 6. Again, the people are charged with forgetfulness. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." These people had willfully forgotten the law of their God. The warning was given in Proverbs chapter 3 as Solomon warned his son, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." We battle with our children, don't we, sometimes, when they declare that they did the wrong thing because they forgot. They forgot that that was a rule. They forgot that they were supposed to be doing this or that. Yet we do not forget what is important to us. And here's the charge: "My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments." We need to be very careful we don't forget the wisdom of God. Commands and the covenants of God and the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not." Get it and don't forget it. Be careful we don't forget God himself. Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 32. This was the charge that Jeremiah declared to God's people. He asked the question, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire?" And I'm sure that no one can ever say they've gone to any wedding where the bride forgot to wear her bridal garment and came in her casual attire, or forgot her jewelry or that which she had so carefully planned and looked forward to wearing on that important day. It doesn't happen. So Jeremiah asks that question, then follows it up with a statement, Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Day after day, month after month, year after year, my people have forgotten me. Psalm 9, verse 17. There's a warning here, but it also speaks of those who forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Nations and people that forget God. Individuals that forget God. We can forget to have God as his, in his rightful first place in our lives, as our first love. That was the charge that the Lord Jesus gave to the church at Ephesus after giving them a number of indicators of what they were doing right, and he encouraged them in the decisions that they had made that were pleasing to him in the ministry. But he goes on in Revelation chapter 2 and beginning in verse 4. He says, nevertheless, there has been some good things that are going on in this local church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. No longer was the Lord their first love, their greatest passion. So what was the solution? The very first word of the solution is remember. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art forth. And repent, and do the first works, or else I come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. They had to remember, because they'd forgotten. We can also forget the value of the Lord's chastening in our lives. And this was a charge that the writer of Hebrews spoke of when he said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, he declared this to them. He said, ye have, past tense, this is what you are guilty of. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. And here it is. This is what you've forgotten. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This can have dire consequences if we forget that God will chasten those whom he loves. Because those whom he loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. And if we forget that truth, and we come under God's chastening hand, we can have a wrong response. And we're not going to have an understanding of how to appropriately respond to such a circumstance where God has exercised his chastening hand against us. So they are some of the things that we can forget, that we ought not forget, that have consequences if we do forget. So what's the remedy? How do we not forget? Well, the first point is that we need to make it a priority to call it to remembrance. And the fact of the matter is that we will not remember that which is not important to us. First of all, it has to become important to us that we will then make it a priority to call it to remembrance. The fact of the matter is that God will not command us to do that which he does not empower us to do. That's true that at times God has given memory prompts, and we have those in our own society, don't we? We had memorials scattered around our country and in prominent positions with those three words around the memorial somewhere, lest we forget. We don't want to forget the great sacrifices that have been made on our behalf that we might be a free people today. We have Remembrance Day, November 11th. We have Anzac Day, another day of remembrance on April 25th. These are times of remembrance where there is prompts for us to remember. I'm sure a typical memory prompt that we would think about in the scriptures is the 12-stone memorial God instructed Joshua to build. In Joshua 4:21, he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, "When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones?" They had to get those 12 stones and build one in the middle of the water and one on the bank, and it was to be for an everlasting memorial, a memory prompt for them to then tell their children what God had done for them. And we, of course, have our 12-stone memorial here on the property, that we would not forget, the generations to come would not forget the miracle that God did in providing us here with this property. We have a table of remembrance, looking forward to being able to meet back together again and again have our table of remembrance, the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 11:24, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me, lest we forget." But for the most part, we don't have little reminders, memorials. The Lord just simply gives the instruction, "Don't forget," or something similar. "Thou shalt remember," like Jeremiah 8:18, "but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." The Lord reiterates his covenant with his people in 2 Kings 17:35. And it says, "And they charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them, but the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye sacrifice, and the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you ye shall observe to do forevermore. And ye shall not fear other gods, and the covenant that I have made with you ye shall not forget." There it is. God just says, you are not to forget it. "Neither shall ye fear other gods." The testimony of God and his works was to be faithfully communicated to the next generation. That instruction is given in Psalm 78. You're to communicate it, you're to pass it on. Why? What's the reason given in Psalm 78 that the generation was to tell the next generation about God's works and his person? The reason is given in verse 7, Psalm 78, verse 7. "That they might set their hope in God." This is the next generation, the children. "That they," the children, "might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." This was the problem in the Joshua to Judges transition, wasn't it? There arose a generation just after those who'd outlived Joshua died off, and this next generation didn't know the Lord. They had forgotten God. They weren't reminded of the testimony of God and his works. And it only took one generation, and there arose a generation who were anti-God. I love this theme that comes through in first verses in Psalm 103, but Psalm 119, it just flows through verse after verse. But Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." David just makes that statement. Don't forget his benefits. But then we come to Psalm 119 and we see a theme here. a theme that David places on not forgetting the Word of God. And he makes a bold statement in each of these verses. I'll begin reading Psalm 119, and the first one is verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Life can get hard. But David says, I will not forget your statutes. Verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. He understood the value of them, therefore he said, I will never forget them. Verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Psalm 119, verse 141, I am small and despised. Life doesn't always go well for me. Yet do not I forget thy precepts. 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. I do not forget thy commandments. Even when I go astray, Lord, I will not forget your commandments. That is what will bring me back to the path. Lamentations 3 begins with, this I recall to my mind. This is what I will do. I will recall this to my mind. I will remember it. I will not forget it. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. These are truths that we dare not forget. Well, how are we to remember and forget not? How are we going to make that happen? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? If we understand the value of the Word of God, and we understand that we're going to be judged according to this Word, the fact that if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression, disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So what was the remedy for that, considering the gravity of this? Well, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things which you've heard. Because if we don't, we're going to let them slip. The word heed is prosecco, and it means to hold the mind towards, to pay attention to be cautious about, to apply yourself to adhere to it, to give attendance to it, to be aware, to be given to it, to have regard for it. That takes priority. There are other things that might have to go by the wayside, that this becomes the priority, that we give the more earnest heed to the things which we've learned. Because if we don't, the warning here is that we could let them slip. And the word means to flow by, to carelessly pass them up and let them just slip on by. That's the danger. If we don't give the more earnest heed, if we don't hold our minds towards these truths that are ever so important, that we do not forget. That was the exhortation that Moses gave, and he says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. Take heed. Keep your soul diligently. These are things that are important that we must keep our mind's eye upon. We must be vigilant ourselves, but we have a responsibility to our children and to our grandchildren that they too might not forget, because at the end of that verse in Jeremiah 4:9 it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And what was part of the remedy? Teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons. And you know what's going to happen when we're teaching our children and our grandchildren? We'll be reminded of them too. I love that privilege that I have of speaking each morning to the young people in devotions, because as I remind them of the truths of God's word, I am reminding myself of the truths of God's word. And just to, by the way, if you do want to have that recording sent to you each morning in WhatsApp, if you just send me, text me your phone number, and I can add you to the list that that recording gets sent out to each morning if you want to hear the devotions at school each morning. Be careful who you listen to, because there's also another warning here that's given in Deuteronomy chapter 23. The word of God must be the priority. And there's a danger that's given here in Jeremiah 23, a warning of what can happen if we start to listen to the wrong kind of people. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 25 says, I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell everyone to his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is it not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? The warning here is that there are those around us who will cause us to forget God's name and replace it with the false gods of this world if we do not give earnest heed. We will start to be taught about another Jesus, another God, and we will forget the name of the one true God, the true Savior, the true Christ of the Bible. Be so very careful who you listen to. Let's finish with this wonderful assurance that although we forget names and places, and we sometimes forget to maintain God as our first love, and we forget some truths in God's word that we ought not forget, God never forgets. I'm very thankful for that. Deuteronomy 4, verse 31. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. He will never forget any agreement that he has made with us, as recorded in his word. He will not forget. Isaiah 49:15. The question again is asked, and again about a woman Last time was about a bride forgetting her garment. This time it's about a woman forgetting her sucking child. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. It might actually be possible that a woman would forget her child. Yet, God says, will I not forget thee? Amos 8 and verse 7 says, the Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which he hath showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Lord will never forget our work, never forget our labor. It's all recorded, and he will remember. Let's conclude with these final thoughts. Forgetfulness is a tool of the enemy to keep us from the abundant, victorious life that God so intends us to experience. Forgetfulness is a tool of the enemy. See, the enemy, Satan, would have us distracted. He would have us in unbelief. He would have us even in disobedience. He would have us in despair. He would have us in bitterness rather than in remembrance of God and his word. And as we recall to remembrance the truths of God's word, this will be a great bulwark, great defense against unbelief and disobedience and despair and bitterness. It was while in the dungeon of giant despair that Christian forgot about the key in his pocket. He forgot that he had the key of promise right in his pocket with him the whole time. He forgot. And for him, in that allegory, it nearly led to disaster, as it had for many others who were there before him, as John Bunyan paints that picture of us for us of bones that littered the dungeon of those who'd gone before and had also forgotten about the key. Christians, brethren, have we forgotten the reality of our walk with God and his word to us? When we look around us and see all that we have, do we then respond and give God the glory for all that we have and all that he's done for us? Do we consider his providence as we choose not to forget that? Or has pride found its way into our hearts and lives? Pride will cause us to forget our need for dependence upon the Lord. Bitterness can creep in and cause us to forget the truth of who God is, his character and his promises. Are the distractions of life causing us to forget God? And there's many of them. A lot of them are online, a lot of them are on a screen, but not all of them. But there are many that can cause us to forget God. Other things can become the priority, and we put in remembrance, which we should not be putting into remembrance, not things that we should not be holding our mind towards. And are we listening carefully to those who have been called to put us in remembrance of the truths of God's word through the preaching of God's word? This was Paul's burden, that young preachers would show their faithfulness to God and his word by putting the people of God in remembrance. Let's be careful that we do not fall prey to the perilous dangers of forgetfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for all that you have recorded for us in your word. We thank you that you are a God who does not forget. And we pray that we would be a people who also would not forget that which we should be remembering. May we hold our mind's eye towards the truths of your word, towards your law, your statutes, your precepts, your judgments, your testimonies, the things that we delight in, should delight in, and love and pursue and have as a priority in our lives. Lord, where we have forgotten the priority of our walk with you, we've forgotten your commandments, we've forgotten those priorities in our lives that should be there. Lord, help us to humble ourselves and to put aside the things that are hindering us, that are crowding us, and causing us to forget the things that are important. Help us to renew our priorities, that we will remember the things that we should remember. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Well, our closing hymn is number 134, Lord, We Would Never Forget. And let's consider what we're seeing and our commitment even just to say these words to the Lord about never forgetting his love, never forgetting everything he's done for us in his word, and lots of great texts referred to in that message there that we can remember. And brethren, let's not forget that sermon. Our closing hymn, number 134. For grace, Lord, to remember your word, remember the message to us this evening, and to remember you in all our ways as we've just sung. Father, Lord, we pray that you would help us not to just in a way to give up, throw our hands in the air and say, oh, I'm not good at remembering, it's too hard for me, but to proclaim your promises and grace to be able to remember all that you've done, all that you do, and Lord, to recognize the reality of you, our Saviour, in our lives. Father, thank you for the truths and the great, exceeding great and precious promises we have in your word. Help us to claim them. Make full use of what we have in Christ. Bless us this week. Help us, Lord. We know that you will not forget us. Help us not to forget you. and to walk in your fear all the day. Lord, thank you for your many blessings, for Christ our Saviour, who intercedes on our behalf even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.